Acts chapter 2, if you'd please turn there. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, just for a few moments tonight. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. The Bible says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Tell me the story of Jesus. Very simple. We see that in these verses that I just read. The world needs to hear that story. I was watching last night on TV all that was going on in Ferguson. I listened to the lawyer that came and explained everything, what the grand jury did, and then I listened to the president, and I watched the cars being turned over and all of the chaos, and then I hear about what's going on in different places. Some pastors got together out in Los Angeles, and they stopped the freeway, and just all of this, and people would think, well, it's a lot of confusion. Well, no, there's not really a lot of confusion. There's a lot of selfishness. There's a lot of people wanting to have their way, and throwing the law away and just saying, no, I don't agree with that, I don't like it. If you take that same mentality, when Jesus came to the earth, people didn't like what he had to say either. He said things like, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me or through me." They didn't want to hear that. They heard from the prophet Isaiah that God was going to raise up and send a Messiah, and that he was going to govern the world. He was going to be the Prince of Peace. He was going to be all and more than we could ever need or understand. And amazing to me is the fact that there were some, even the religious Jews, they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that story. You've encountered that in your life when you attempted to share your testimony. People didn't want to, even your own family, they didn't want to hear it. But it's important for us to understand that we must tell the story of Jesus. While Jesus was gathered with some Pharisees, he asked them this question, "What think ye of Christ?" The Lord himself threw down this challenge. And upon the answer to that question, their whole eternity depended. They had many, they say, "Well, you're a teacher, you're a prophet, you're this, you're that." But then I remember one time he asked Peter, he says, "Whom do men say that I am?" And you remember what Peter said? He says, "Thou art the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood didn't tell you that, Peter. Only God could tell you that." What you believe tonight, what you think of Jesus, who you think he is, the story of Jesus, it really has a lot. And as it comes as a challenge, it will question your whole eternity. How you answer that question will depend on where you'll spend eternity. So, "Well, David, is this a test?" No, it's not really a test. It's something that you know down in your heart. Why? Because the Spirit of God has been revealing it to you for days, years, months. But as a child of God, I need to ask you that question tonight. Here we are, you know, the day before the eve of Thanksgiving, and here we're talking about Christ. We've heard what he's done in Jean's life. We've heard what he's done in Miss Libby's life. And you think, well, man, that, God hasn't done that in my life, and God hasn't shown me that, and I don't have that same hunger, and I didn't have anybody teach me, and nobody told me I had to memorize the books of the Bible. And what happens is we start sparring with the truth. We start trying to justify why we haven't done that or why we're not where these two ladies are. And folks, bottom line, they're not in competition with each other. God allowed them to come tonight to share with us so that we could be challenged, not to look bad. That's not why they came. They didn't come to make us look bad. But if nothing else, they've come tonight to help us to to understand the simplicity of telling the story of Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? He has to be all of our Savior. He's our Savior. That's bottom line. But who is he to you? He's the one that held your hand through a crisis in your life. Is he the one that stood by you when you lost your job? Is he the one that has never given up on you? Is he the one that continually brings you back? Is he the one that stirs your heart in the middle of the night and has turned you into a prayer warrior? Who is Jesus to you? What is your story? We cannot review too often the work and person of Christ. His virgin birth, can you share that with a child? The miracle of it, he was virgin born. And you say, well, that's important. What is the meaning of it? Why was it so important that Jesus be born of a virgin? It's not biology, it's not theology, it's just God's holiness cannot be transferred through two human beings. God the Father overcame Mary, and she became pregnant so that Jesus would have the Father's nature. I have my earthly Father's nature. He had his Father's nature. My sisters have my Father's nature, my earthly Father's nature. So I need a new nature. But Jesus came, and he had his Father's nature. Why? Because he needed to be God in the flesh. He was Emmanuel. It was a must. He would be the perfect sacrifice. He would be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's why it's so important. What about his virtuous life? How the fact that he triumphed over sin, he triumphed over Satan, he was able to triumph over so many situations that came his way. How was that possible? Because he was God in the flesh, yes, but he was also man. And the Bible says in Hebrews, and folks, these are simple things. And that we can say them, and here's what I want you to understand. We can say them, and we don't have to defend it. Because when you share the Word of God, you don't have to defend the Word of God. The Word of God defends itself. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder the thoughts and intents, the bone and the marrow, yes. But we need to share the Word of God, not our opinion. Why is it so important that Jesus had such a virtuous life? Because even though he was a man, yet without sin. He was a man without sin. He was an always tempted as you and I are, yet without sin. So, well, I don't understand that. There's a lot I don't understand, but that's what the Word of God says. And bottom line, Jesus was sinless. Well, it's because he was God, yes, but he was also all man. He hungered. He wept. He was fearful in the garden when he cried out, Father, take this cup from me. His virgin birth, his virtuous life. What about his vicarious death? In the Old Testament, we have a preview of the cross. Every time there was an animal sacrifice, we have a picture of the death of Christ, the true Messiah, the true sacrifice. Again, we mentioned this. The blood of the animals was just a covering. But the blood of the animal would not change a person's nature. The blood of the animal would never wash away the sin of a person. It's a simple thing. The facts of the crucifixion, my goodness, Jesus died on the cross for you and me to take away our sin. Simple. We could go back to the Old Testament and you have the scapegoat and you have the sacrificial lamb and then you have the priest and then you have the altar and you have all of the elements that were needed in order to perform that animal sacrifice. But in Christ Jesus, you find all of those things. He was the high priest. He was the sacrifice. He was the scapegoat. His life became the very altar. His life was everything. The animal would shed his blood. Jesus shed his blood. He gave his life. All of those things are found in Christ. And you remember, the Bible says that Jesus fulfilled all of the law, all of the elements, everything that we find in the Old Testament sacrificial system, we find in Christ alone. That's why our redemption and our salvation is found in him. What about his resurrection? Yes, he came out of the tomb. And he went up to the throne of God. The tomb is empty. We had some folks recently from our church went there, and they looked in there. And I remember in 83 when I went there with my father-in-law and my pastor, and I wanted to go, and I was just almost just itching. I wanted to break in line to get in there. And the guy who was an Arab Christian, he said, "Come and see where Jesus laid." I said, "Oh my." I walked in, I got over in the corner, and I'm standing there, and people coming in, and I'm just standing there, I'm watching this thing, and I'm looking at everything. And my pastor came in, and he says, "What do you think, son?" I said, "I don't know, preacher. There's a lot going on in here." He said, "Yep." He said, "But there's one thing that's not going on here." He said, "What?" He said, "There's no bones. He's not in here. He's risen." And I mean, it just washed over me. I said, what was that, emotional moment? I don't know what it was, but I'm telling you, I had a Category 5 meltdown right there in that place. They brought his body. They laid him in that borrowed tomb. That should have been my tomb, should have been my sepulcher, should have been my grave. But he took my place for me. It became real. I saw it. A friend of mine went blind in his 40s, and he said he went to Israel, and he said they brought him in with his wife, and his name is Bunker Hill. He's from St. Augustine, and the guide said, let me do something. He went and got the keys because they have a little gate there so that you can't get in where they laid him in that little tomb. And so the outside is where the wailers, the mourners come. It's like the mourner's room. So they opened it up, and Bunker said they brought him in there, and he got down on his knees, and he said he got to feel everything, place where his head was, down where his feet was. And he said he just kept running his hands over and over. And he looked up, and he told his wife, Marion. He says, "Marion, this is it. This is it." She says, "What do you mean?" She says, "This is where our Savior was laying. They laid him here. He was lying here in this place." She says, now Bunker, now be careful now, Bunker. He says, "No." He says, "I just know that this is what it looks like. Now here's a blind man. This is what it looks like." And he saw it in his mind, and he felt it with his hands. One last point. His visible return. He's coming for us in the rapture. Any moment. I did a funeral yesterday, and I was standing at the graveside, and the mother and the grandmother, 90 years young, she had gone on to be with the Lord. And I knew Miss Edna, and I knew her testimony, and I saw her life. I've known her for about 30 years. And I was sharing with her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. And there were some family and friends there. And I started telling them about the rapture of the church and what they could expect, the next event. And I was telling Sandy last night, I said, I was standing there, and there was probably about 30 people. And I said, I looked around, and I said, and no one had any idea what I was talking about. No one. Me and the young minister beside me. And he put his head down, and he was praying. And so I backed up, and I explained it, and I just took it step by step. And it's almost like my words were just falling on deaf ears. They didn't get it. There was no excitement. There was no hope. They were dead in their trespasses and sin. The last thing I said to them was, I said, your grandmother has left a spiritual legacy for you. She has modeled what Jesus looks like for you. She doesn't want you to go to church because she did. No, she wants you to meet the Master, the Savior, the Lord Jesus. That's who she wants, because that's where she is. We're not here to say goodbye. We're here to tell her, see you later. But if you do not know Christ, and then you see the head start looking up, I said, you'll never see her again. Now that may be irreverent, that may be harsh, but folks, sometimes you just got to tell them, and you got to be hard, and they've got to hear the truth of the gospel. Because they're just thinking, well, she was just an old woman, and she's gone. No. The rapture. He's coming for us in the rapture. Lastly, he's coming with us in the return. That's the victory. He's coming back. White horses. Victorious. Judgment on the earth. Grace in heaven. Tell me the story of Jesus in your life. My challenge to you tonight is, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you know Him? Not do you know about Him, but do you know Him? Do you know Him? And here's the other question. Does He know you? Choir sang, He knows my name. I remember when He saved me. Does Jesus know your name? The Bible says in the Gospel of John, my sheep hear my voice, and they what? They follow me. That's always the acid test. When He speaks to you, do you hear Him? If He's your shepherd, you'll know Him. You'll hear Him, because He has a voice like no other. And when He speaks, you'll hear Him. We have much to be thankful for. Christmas is just around the corner. You can be thankful tonight that you have Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And boy, what a beginning that is. He is coming again. So what's the world going to look like? I don't know. But I do know one thing. He's coming again. Say, well, what do you think about this and that? What about this election? What about, I know one thing. I know He's coming again. So what about health? What about this? I'm not sure about a lot of things, but I do know one thing. I know He's coming again. So you don't know a whole lot, do you? It's not that I need to know a whole lot. I just know who is coming again. Do you know who's coming again? And does He know your name? Because when it's all over said and done, that's all that's going to matter. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, tonight we are blessed beyond measure. Lord, I'm going to have to think through this all day tomorrow. What I've heard tonight, what I've witnessed, the choir singing, ladies testifying, and the fact that You're coming again. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. God, help us not to waste these moments complaining and being critical. Help us to be thankful and grateful people, the children of God. Thank You for this time tonight. In Jesus' name.